In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. We're thrilled to be able to have Brother John Connor up with us today. Brother John, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
He is the director of the Baptist Bible Fellowship International Missions Outreach, and you told us you had 400 families in 80-some different countries?
Yes.
That's a lot of responsibility.
Yes, it is, but a lot of neat opportunities as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. The question has come up, what counsel would you give a church that maybe is going through maybe some church problems, or maybe their finances have really dropped and they're really struggling to support their missionaries? What counsel would you give them concerning the idea of dropping the support of a missionary while he's on the field?
Well, I usually encourage our churches not to drop them when they're on the field, if at all possible.
Right.
When they're on the field, they don't always have the opportunity to raise that support from somewhere else.
Well, many times it's illegal for them to even work in that country.
That is true.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So they don't have the opportunity to work. They don't have an opportunity to bring their income or make up for what they're losing. So mm-hmm. I encourage our pastors and churches to please at least keep going with your support until they return to the States.
Sure. Right.
If you have to decrease the amount, you know, do that, but just keep something going to them until they're able to return back and make up for that support.
When I was a senior pastor, I shared with our church that since it was illegal for the missionaries to go out and get a job, but yet we here in the States as pastors, we could go out and get a part-time job.
Yes.
That's what we would do.
Yes.
Our pastors would take a pay cut. We would go out and get a part-time job so the missionaries could continue to have their full support.
Yes.
Never had to do that, but I think that helped our people realize how important missions was.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, most countries will not allow them to work if they're not the citizen of their country.
Right, right.
And then also our policies do not allow them to work either, because mm-hmm. we want them to be full-time in the ministry, doing everything they can. So
right.
when churches drop them and they're on the field, it impacts them quite a bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you think of as far as furloughs and things like that? In the day,
yes,
you went 4 years, never came home, and then came home for a year. Has that changed any at all?
That has changed quite a bit, actually. When my parents went, it was 4 years, and you were there the whole time and then came mm-hmm. back for a year of furlough. And, you know, some of that has changed because of the rapid transportation that we now have. It's cheaper. And then we found, as most of our missionaries have, when you start a ministry and you've got it going after 2 years mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then you're there for the 4 years, it's hard to leave it for a full year.
Right, right.
Now, we do have missionaries that we call relief missionaries, and they go and will fill in for a missionary while they're gone.
Okay.
And so they raise their support. They've actually been a missionary in a country for a while, so they have experience.
Yeah.
So that relief missionary does help when a missionary does have to be gone for quite a while.
Right.
But we're seeing more who are maybe every 2 years coming back for, say, 3 to 4 months.
Uh-huh.
And then they get back there to their ministry. So, yeah, that's the trend that we're seeing more.
And if they have children, the school aspect comes into consideration.
Yes, all the timing of their coming back and getting into schools here and then getting back to school there.
Yeah.
So those things all come into play, and it's a different world than we used to live in as far as all that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see a lot more. In fact, there's a lot of churches will fly a missionary back just for their mission conference.
Wow.
And
well, that's what we did at the church that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We wanted to know what was going on, and
yes.
We were the total support church, so we'd bring you back.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you see that more and more happening today that you used to never see.
Of course, our budget was $700,000 a year, so
yes.
we could afford to do that.
Amen. That's great. That's great.
But the neat thing about that was the fact that when they did come home on furlough, they didn't have to travel all over the United States.
That's right.
They came home, they got some rest, and we were able to have a ministry to them. And then they yes. also became involved in the local church.
That's right.
Really got acquainted with folks in the church, as opposed to we've got 50 churches that support us,
mm-hmm.
and so we're gone every weekend, so I have to leave the wife and kids back here in school, and
yes.
and it just worked out very, very well.
Yes, that's ideal. If that's possible, that is ideal. The relationship is so much stronger and better.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Another question was, what advice would you give a new missionary when they arrive on the field concerning the particular culture and various approaches to ministry? How do you train them to get ready for that?
What we require is our new missionaries have a 4-year Bible college or mission degree, and yeah. so in our training in their college, they've had some cultural anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a 2-week training before they go to the field, and there I also teach more cultural anthropology.
Okay.
But what we encourage them is at least their first year is to learn the culture and learn the language.
Sure.
And many times they want to just get in and get into ministry and start, and then they rarely will learn the language because they're so busy.
They're so hindered because of that, because people don't respect them.
Exactly. When you speak their language, they know you really do care
right.
and you love them.
Right.
When we were missionaries in Ethiopia, my parents learned the language and spoke it well. I, as a kid, learned it just playing with the kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
But when the communists came in and the Russians came, they didn't learn the language, and they always said, we know you love us, but they don't because they don't speak our language.
Sure.
So I encourage our missionaries that first year, just really delve into the language, learn it, learn the culture, go around and see the different places, study the different religions, why they do what mm-hmm. they do and mm-hmm. what they believe. And that gives them a good foundation and base to build off of. Now, they can participate in a missionary's ministry and do things like that, but don't start your own at the very beginning.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
A teachable spirit is probably one of the most important things.
That's huge, yes.
Yeah.
And that's what I try and encourage them. We've had some who feel like they already know it all, and they're going to do it. All the missionaries previously didn't do it right, and they're going to go do it right. And usually they crash and burn.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we try and teach them, be humble,
mm-hmm.
be teachable, and just learn and be respectful to the older missionaries that have been there for
a
while.
Isn't that the truth?
And learn from them.
Yeah.
And when they do that,
mm-hmm.
they are successful.
Mm-hmm. I remember a missionary that we sent. He was there 4 years, never got a church started, never seemed to accomplish much. Came home on furlough for a year and then went back. And when he got back to the field, one of the national pastors said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm a missionary here. And he said, why? He said, well, I'm involved in church planting. And he said, so where's your church?
Yes.
And the guy said, well, it hasn't gotten off the ground. And the fellow said, do you want to know why? He said, well, do you know why? As he said, we all know why. He said, well, yeah, tell me why. He said, when you preach, you walk back and forth. But he said, our people have a culture that the pastor stands behind the pulpit
mm-hmm.
and doesn't move when he preaches.
Yes.
Otherwise, it unsettles
sure.
people. And
mm-hmm.
so consequently, nobody will come to hear you preach because you are constantly walking back.
Yes.
And our missionary said, that's it. They said, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he started, you know, having small meetings and stopped walking and
mm-hmm.
a church was planted.
Right.
Well, amazing.
That's very true. And that's why it's important to observe and learn and ask questions,
yeah.
study. I encourage them to study the people even before they go
mm-hmm.
To the mission field and begin that process.
Right.
You can learn a lot from the national people, national leaders.
Oh, yeah.
And be respectful of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're
mm-hmm.
our brothers and sisters. We partner with them. we're not above them.
Right.
And
right.
we work with them. So that's very important.
Yeah, we're not there to control them. We are there to learn.
Yes.
And kind of like be assistants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's very good. Now, how young should the local church begin to invest in the life of a child or a teen who has expressed an interest in missions? How young do you think that child ought to be?
Well, I know quite a few who have surrendered or at least acknowledged an interest in missions when they're even in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that age, I think it's very important when that happens, like in a mission conference that we're in right now.
Right.
If a junior high student said, hey, I'm interested in being a missionary, I think at that time the church needs to work with the family, the parents, talk to them through the process and begin setting them up on a program that takes them through steps of reading about missionaries, understanding missions, getting some ideas about countries and places. And so I think at any age, really, when there's, especially junior high and up,
right,
that's the time when you need to start encouraging them and working through the process with them.
Mm-hmm. Good. When it comes to the age of missionaries, I know when my son and his wife left for Brazil, they were the youngest missionaries that Baptist World Missions had ever sent out.
Yes.
And their deputation only took them 14 months. And so even though he had a master's degree, he was still just 23 years old when everything was done.
Right.
And so they left for the field. It was important for them to work with a missionary family that was already there. The idea of team ministries, I think, is important. What does your organization teach as far as team ministries?
Well, we have some who have gone together as a team to a country, and they work together. And that's always good because you can encourage one another, help each other out through difficulties and problems and issues, which always come up.
Yeah.
And then for our young ones, just as you had mentioned, our younger missionaries, we always try and get them to work with a veteran missionary when they first get there and team up and work together and learn from them. They may later go out on their own and start a ministry in another city or somewhere. Right. But always we encourage them strongly to work with a veteran missionary.
At least that first term.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the
yeah.
first term, get to know. And that way you're not starting something and then taking away from learning language and all, but you're participating and concentrating on those very important aspects as well. But the young missionaries, we try and connect them with our veterans.
Okay. And then if you've got a team, wives can talk together.
Yes.
And
that's a very important thing because wives, usually the husband gets out and is busy.
Yeah.
And the wife is busy, but she's got her kids, and there's a lot of issues and things that come up, and to have someone else to talk to is always a blessing.
We're going to pick up on that next time we get together. So, folks, join us next time. And just share with those in your church about these conversations and have them join us as well. Until then, the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.